Good morning, everybody. Today we're continuing to reflect on our value of Sabbath. Can I encourage you, if you haven't already, or if you've forgotten what was said, or if you want to listen again, to listen to the first instalment. It can be found on our website for the 20th of March. It's an audio of the video I made when I was unable to be with you. Shall we pray together? Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I'm going to begin today by reading Psalm 23 for busy people. The Lord is my pace setter, I shall not rush. He makes me stop and rest for quiet intervals. He provides me with images of stillness which restore my serenity. He leads me in the way of efficiency through calmness of mind, and his guidance is peace. Even though I have a great many things to accomplish each day, I will not fret, for his presence is here. His timelessness, his all-importance will keep me in balance. He prepares refreshment and renewal in the midst of activity by anointing my mind with his oils of tranquility. My cup of joyous energy overflows. Surely harmony and effectiveness shall be the fruits of my hours, for I shall walk in the pace of my Lord and dwell in his house forever. So a quick recap on Sunday the 20th of March. Sabbath is one of our three values that also includes spirituality and hospitality. Sabbath is perhaps the least understood of them all, the one we need to work on a bit more. Sabbath rest, unearths our issues, so be warned. If you want to grow more like Jesus, Sabbath is a good place to start. We might try to drown our inner struggles, be that loneliness or vulnerability, emptiness, shame, self-loathing, fear or greed, with productivity. So when we stop, we need to be ready to allow God to deal with what needs healing and restoring within us, renewing and transforming us by his Spirit. Eugene Peterson writes, Sabbath is not primarily about me or how it benefits me. It is about God and how God transforms me. It is not in the first place about what I do or don't do. It's about God completing and resting and blessing and sanctifying. It means stopping and being quiet long enough to see, open-eyed with wonder, resurrection wonder. So Sabbath rest is part of our healing and wholeness. It's how we become more Christ-like. Sabbath means we work from a place of rest, not because we need to rest. In practicing Sabbath, we recognise that it is God who sustains us and allows us to see his bigger picture when we take a step back from our chores. Sabbath brings joy and a deepening relationship with God as we come before him with all of ourselves without having to strive. Peter Cazzaro says that four things need to happen on Sabbath. Firstly, we stop work, and that's all work, paid and unpaid. Secondly, we enjoy rest, just as God rested. As the saying goes, we are human beings, not human doings. Thirdly, we delight in God's creation. Just as God himself on his day of rest, we observe and wonder at the marks of our loving Creator. Finally, we contemplate God. We enjoy spending time consciously being with him, not doing stuff for him. How we work this out in practice is between you and God and will probably involve some experimentation and change over time. It certainly has for me. But remember, as soon as a rigid structure is imposed, then you have lost the freedom of Sabbath. The minute we start imposing rules, either on ourselves or others, we are falling into the trap that the Jews fell into. Sabbath became a list of do's and don'ts, rather than the freeing, life-giving time God created it for. I suggest that you chat in your life groups over the next few weeks as to what Sabbath might look like for you. What would you need to do to stop work, to rest, to delight, and to contemplate God, for a whole day every week. Sabbath proclaims that we belong to God, that we are free. The Israelites were enslaved for generations by the Egyptians. They worked every day for virtually 400 years. They existed for work. This force of evil was broken when they were freed from captivity, and God's people were no longer defined by what they did, but by who they belonged to. Paul says in Galatians 5, "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery." Mark my words, he goes on to say. It takes courage to stand firm against the busyness and productivity required by our culture. Having spoken to many of you about this, I know that church has at times simply added to the burden rather than adding to the freedom that Christ has died to give us. It's easier to feel free on a Sunday, free to stop work, to rest, to enjoy creation and to contemplate God when you are not sorting technical stuff, providing refreshments, practicing and performing music, leading and preaching. And that's not to say that all of these things are service and can enrich our spiritual lives. But these things too can easily become a burden. Swiss theologian Karl Barth once wrote, "A being is free only when it can determine and limit its activity." Are we enjoying the freedom that God has given us? I know, there's this fear of missing out. We even have an acronym for it, FOMO. There's so many things we could be doing, and of course reporting them on Facebook so people know how busy and important we are. But it's precisely because we feel pressured that we need to stop and enter a Sabbath rest, to reorientate our lives around the one who created us and knows how we are made to tick, rather than how our culture calls us to live, even if that is church culture. The commandments are not so much a list of do's and don'ts, but a way of being. "This is who you are called to be," says God. "This is how I've created you. This is how you can get the best out of the life I've given you, by living this way. You won't have life in all its fullness if you're not being this kind of community." So what constitutes Sabbath rest? Gardening, for some of us, is an escape. For me, it's a time to enjoy God's creation. But it's a chore for Kevin. So how do we distinguish what is rest and what is work? I would do some light gardening on my Sabbath, but I wouldn't spend the day working hard only to find myself exhausted at the end of it. Meeting friends and family, going to church, having a walk. There are infinite ways to replenish our souls. It was difficult in Jesus' day too. That's why the Jews created a whole list of rules regarding the Sabbath. The disciples got into trouble for picking ears of corn on the Sabbath. Not that there was any rule against snacking, but there were rules about not working. Jesus got into trouble on many occasions for healing on the Sabbath. Helpful guidelines became a straitjacket. Jesus brings some common sense. In Mark 2:27 he says, "The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath." And in Matthew 12:8 he declares that he is Lord of the Sabbath. So why not stop now? Why not pause in this moment? Have a conversation with Jesus. What does he think would bring you life, rest and enjoyment? How would changing one day a week enhance your relationship with God, with your family and your community? What do you think would bring you life? Why not give it a go? Sabbath is not the same as leisure time, and the answer is different for different people. It's an oasis of time, unmeasured, unhurried. Some of the definitions of play use those words, unmeasured and unhurried, where there is no particular goal at the end. Sabbath is kairos time. It's God's time. It's immeasurable. Rather than chronos time, the time we measure and live in. Fancy dwelling with God in kairos time for a whole day a week. It's time for relationships with family, with friends, with God. It's a time of letting go of that need to be in charge. It's a time to celebrate God, a time when God has our attention, a time to stop, to cease, to enjoy creation and recognise God's provision. God might have been resting on the Sabbath, but he also wasn't doing nothing. The Sabbath wasn't a day to himself, a day not to care, a day to stop being in charge, a day to stop being God, to stop being love. God's power carried on sustaining creation. The earth didn't stop spinning, the sun still shined. We'll be continuing to reflect on this value, our light of life value of Sabbath, in 2 weeks' time. And until then, can I strongly encourage you to attend a life group, even if you don't normally, and to learn from each other and John Mark Comer's book, The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry. When I first heard that title, I thought it was The Ruthless Elimination of Harry. And I thought, my goodness, that's a bit strong, isn't it? What has Harry done? And it made me laugh when I realised it was hurry, because it is not easy. It really does take ruthlessness to eliminate the hurry in our lives. It takes courage to change a day a week. John Mark Comer makes Sabbath sound so appealing. Indeed, it is his favourite day of the week, and it should be ours too. A day we can't wait for, a day to inspire, to enthuse us and give us a rest. A day when we delight in God and he delights in us. Let me leave you with a Sabbath blessing. May this day bring Sabbath rest to your heart and to your home. May God's image in us be restored and our imaginations be restored. May the gravity of material things be lightened and the relativity of time slow down. May we know grace to embrace our own infinite smallness in the arms of God's infinite greatness. May God's word feed us and his spirit lead us into the week and into the life to come. Amen.